We're going to start with number one there. It says the most important stuff. And what I want you to do is open the Bibles to those. We'll start with the Luke scripture that you see there, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 20. It's a scripture Jim has already taken us through actually a couple of times. So you've seen this scripture before. Luke 10. I'm going to start reading at chapter 1, or verse 1. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this. The kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Let me skip to verse 17. The 72 returned. So they went out, they did all that stuff, and they came back. They returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now turn to that Matthew passage, Matthew 7, 22 and 3. Somebody read that.
On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Okay. What I want to do is give perspective on all of the stuff that we're talking about with the spiritual world. And so, is it possible to cast out demons and not know Jesus?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
Because there's a lot of that in Indonesia. Like shaman okay. Do that.
Yeah. Okay. Is it possible to cast out demons in Jesus' name and not know Jesus? Matthew seems to think yes. And actually Jesus seems to think yes, because he's the one who's saying that. In Luke 10, when Jesus sends the 72 out, and they go, and they heal the sick, and they cast out demons, and they do all of this stuff. They then come back, and And they're amazed. It's like, Lord, the demons are subject to us in your name. And then Jesus says, Luke 10, verse 20. You're in Matthew now, aren't you? You're not in Luke. Is someone in Luke? Read verse 20.
Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Okay. Now, in Luke 10, all the stuff Jim has been talking about is real. And so I want to affirm there is a real spiritual world. There are real demons and angels. They're real. I also want to affirm that Jesus has given authority to his disciples in that spiritual world. That's just verse 17, Luke 10, 17, and Luke 10, 19. He just says it, point blank. I also want to affirm that that is meant for us as well, because Jesus says in Luke 10, 2, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. And then he sends out laborers. He even uses the word later in Luke 10, laborers. You guys are laborers. And he's praying for not you guys, but other people who are going to be doing what you're going to be doing. And so that, and Jim has been talking about all that. And I want to affirm all of that because that's all real. But what I want to do is put all that in perspective. Apparently, Jesus doesn't think that that's the main thing. It's part of the package. It's real. It's something that we can't deny. But Jesus thinks there's something more important than your ability to cast out demons and the authority that you have in the spiritual world. Because he says they're wowing at something. They're wowing that we can cast out demons in your name. And Jesus says, you're wowing at the wrong thing. Do not rejoice that the demons are subject to you in my name, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. That's what he says. Now, why do you think he says that? In Luke 10, verse 20.
Because you don't have to be saved to cast out demons in Jesus' name.
Okay. Perhaps you don't have to be saved to cast out demons in Jesus' name. Any other ideas why he may say that?
Jesus is the center and the focus, not Satan.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want them to get so caught up in fighting Satan that they miss Jesus. And when they miss Jesus, what happens is they lose their ability to fight Satan. Satan would love for you to make him the focus. Let's fight Satan. Let's do it. And wow, we've got this authority and wonderful. But once he becomes the focus, he's won. And you don't want that. Because you've lost. Even though you may have that authority. Do people sometimes do what the disciples are doing here? Wowing at the wrong thing? And if so, can you give me an example? Where do people today do that? Okay.
So instead of focusing on the loving Jesus as himself, but loving him because of the blessings.
Okay.
More focus on the blessings than focus on Jesus.
Okay. Okay. Do people sometimes wow at their spiritual authority today and get caught up in that? I think it still happens today. Now, are there also people who ignore verses 17 and 19 today? Ignoring the fact that they have authority in the spiritual world. That's what 17 and 19 are saying. Jesus says, I've given you authority. Mm. Right? Are there people who ignore that?
Yeah.
That's probably more common, I think, at least in the West. Maybe in other parts of the world, the other problem might be more common. But in the West, that's probably the more common problem, is we ignore that. Why is that a problem?
I feel like in a way it might limit what God can do because we don't ask.
Okay. Anyone else? Why would that be a problem?
Ignoring that, meaning that's what Jesus expects from his disciples. Even like sending this the two and two to because that's what Jesus told them to do in chapter 10, verse 9, heal the sick. And all like having like this authority.
Yeah.
Jesus bestowed them.
Okay.
Bestowed them that authority.
Jesus gave them the authority.
Yeah. And they need to exercise that.
They need to exercise the authority they have.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Satan has a lot more free reign if we don't exercise that authority. He can do a whole lot more. And so there's a problem on both sides, right? On the one side is the problem of people who simply ignore this authority issue and pretend it doesn't exist. On the other side are the danger the disciples are getting in right here, and that is, wow, look what we can do in your name. This is amazing. And you lose focus of Jesus. And you lose focus of your salvation. Your salvation is far more important than your ability to cast out demons. That's what verse 20 says, basically. And so, don't lose focus of what's important in this. The authority is part of the package. It's part of what comes with the kingdom of God. And we need to practice it. But, it isn't the main thing. And we need to understand that. And Jesus doesn't consider it to be the main thing. Questions or comments so far? Okay, let's move to that second section. It's called The Two Ditches of Satan, and I'm going to begin with two quotes by C.S. Lewis. They're there, so you can I'll read them out loud. You can follow along as I read. C.S. Lewis says, "He, the devil, always sends errors into the world in pairs of opposites. He relies on your extra dislike of one to draw you gradually into the opposite one. But do not let us be fooled. We have to keep our eyes on the goal and go straight through between both errors. We have no other concern than that with either of them." And then, that was from Mere Christianity. This one's from the Screwtape Letters. He says, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight." Put that in your words. What's he saying?
Satan is just as pleased with you if you don't believe in him as he is with you if you, like, excessively believe in him.
Okay. Yes. So I want you to think for a moment of life as a road. So let's say, here's the road. And you have to walk on the road. And I want you to think of, on the left side is a ditch. And you don't want to fall in the ditch. And on the right side is another ditch. And you don't want to fall in that ditch. Your job is to walk down the road. Satan, his job is to get you off the road. And it doesn't matter which ditch you go into. He's just as happy with the left ditch as he is with the right ditch. And very often, we will have tendency to go to the left or go to the right. I'm not talking politics here. And what Satan will do is he'll take our tendency and push it a little bit to get us to wander a little bit too far to the left. Or, if it's the other way, a little bit too far to the right. Now, let's put some examples to this so that we see it in real life. And so I have some examples down there. So you see legalism and freedom. And so our job is to not be legalists. A legalist is someone who is so focused on the law and it's the law that makes us right with God. It's, I got to do all the stuff. I got to do it. 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 That's a legalist. But Scripture says it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Therefore, do not be burdened again with a yoke of slavery. That's Galatians 5:1. And the context of that is he's talking about he's fighting legalism. That the whole book of Galatians is fighting legalism. And so we have this freedom in Christ. We're free from the law. And so, great, we're free from the law. So we don't really have to do all that stuff. We can do what we want. Now, legalism is one ditch on one side of the road. And if you take following the law the wrong way, but if you take freedom the wrong way, you go in the ditch on the right side of the road. And Satan is just perfectly happy with either one of those ditches. To him, it doesn't matter. Hey, come in. To him, it doesn't matter which of those two you go in, so long as he gets you off the road. That's all he's interested in. And there are people who are more... they're wired to follow the rules. And Satan is going to take that wiring to the left and get you off the road on the legalism side. And there are other people who are more wired for the freedom that we have in Christ. And Satan is going to take that wiring and try and get them to go in the other direction and say, oh, well, it doesn't matter what you do. You're free. And we see examples of that. You can see there, doctrine and love. This is another example of the same kind of thing. People like to oppose those things. And you've heard people talk about dead doctrine, which is real. There are churches that are doctrinally pure, but they've lost their first love, like Ephesus in Revelation. Doctrinally pure, but lost their first love. And then there are Christians who talk about love. It's not the doctrine that matters, it's the love that matters. And so let's love. That's more important than getting all of the doctrine right. And those churches are often willing to go run into heresy. And Satan doesn't care which of those ditches you go in. He's just as happy with dead doctrine as he is with no doctrine or false doctrine. And he will use your dislike, as C.S. Lewis said, your dislike of the other one to pull you into the one ditch. So that if your doctrine is very important to you, which it should be, by the way, what he will do is he'll use your love for doctrine to get you focused on doctrine. And when you're focused on doctrine, you're not focused on God. The point of doctrine is to point you to God. That's the whole point of doctrine. It is never to exist for its own sake. But he will get you to think of it as existing for its own sake, as if that's the main thing. But that isn't the main thing. It's supposed to point you to the main thing. But what he will do is he'll point out all those churches that are way off over there to get you off over here, because you're going to fight them. And then on the other side, he'll point out those dead doctrine folks to get you to forget about doctrine altogether. And then you've got false doctrine, and false doctrine isn't going to point you to God, because it's false. He doesn't care which of those ditches you go in. He's just as happy with one as he is with the other. Unity, disunity. Unity is something Scripture values. We are to be one as God's people. And so there are people, however, who will take unity to where I think of the ecumenical movement today, which is a movement of all sorts of different not just Christian even today, different groups that all say, let's come together and be one. And it's in disregard of doctrine. Doesn't matter what you believe, let's all be one. And the idea is that unity has become God. Satan, well, he'll go that well. He likes that. He's very happy with the ecumenical movement today because it takes people off the road to unite with things that are not of God. And it gets them to forget that. But then, he's also just as happy getting Christians so focused on fighting that that they start disuniting over ridiculous things. And so he's perfectly happy either way. He's perfectly happy with you uniting as a church with churches that are heretical. He's also perfectly happy getting you squabbling amongst yourselves and disunited amongst yourselves over some maybe doctrinal issue or whatever issue. It doesn't matter to him. The left ditch or the right ditch, take your pick. And you're wired one of those different directions, most likely. And he'll try to encourage that wiring to just go a little bit further. He wants you down the main path. Now, we're not going to go through all of these for time's sake, but there are other things. Holiness and forgiveness. You can be so caught up with holiness that you forget you're forgiven. Or you can be so caught up with the idea of forgiveness that you forget God calls us to be holy. And Satan is perfectly happy with either one of those errors. Passion and contentment. Some people are so passionate, they never have any peace. Some people will take contentment to where there's no passion. They're not going to do anything for God because, c'est la vie. Whatever. And Satan will take, you're wired one way or the other. And he'll take that wiring and he'll distort it and get you in the ditch on one side or the other with regard to that. The individual versus the community. The individual, it's all about me. That's the ditch on the left side. It's all about me. The ditch on the right side is what I do doesn't matter. It's the community. It's the, you know, I'm just one guy. What I do, that makes no difference. Satan, he doesn't matter which ditch. He'll get you thinking one way or the other on that. Those are the two ditches of Satan. There are lots of other issues. Just about every issue in life has two ditches, one on the left, one on the right. And our function, our job in walking the road is to stay on the road and not get caught up on the left or on the right, because that's what Satan wants. The bottom one there, ignore Satan, focus on Satan, is basically what we talked about in number one, the most important stuff from Luke 10. Your authority is real. Take it seriously. But don't get caught up in it, as if that's the main thing. And we're going to stop there. We're not going to cover that last part today, just for time's sake.